This is a free recording by Cambridge Cookbooks, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja qayyima liyundhira ba'san shadeedan min ladun ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باقي نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فهو الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المصداء والسراج المنير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that life to come we have appointed for those who did not desire exaltation in the earth or any corruption, and the outcome is with the people of taqwa. Religion is a glorious thing, and the anbiya and the men and the women of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are glorious beings because they are truly the ahsan taqweem in the best of forms. They are the ones who truly represent the meaning of laqad karramna bani adam. We have ennobled the descendants of Adam. The believer has a sharaf and a karama, an honor and a nobility, a kind of glory that is a reflection, ultimately, of his creator's intentions. But at the same time, we know that religion requires us to be humble. Religion requires us, as the Quran says, not to desire exaltation in the earth or any corruption. That was the way of Fir'aun. Inna Fir'auna ala fil ard. Pharaoh was self-exalted in the earth. And we are required, in order to realize the glorious potential of human beings, to seem to be inglorious and humble, to be akhfiya, to be hardly noticed. And this is a paradox. In a famous hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Rubba ash'atha aghbara la yu'ba'u bih law aqsama ala Allahi la abarra. There are many people who are dusty and wild-haired. Nobody points them out, but were they to swear an oath by Allah, he would answer their prayers. This is part of the mystery of Arafat, where we stand as mu'minun in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anticipating that final mawqif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his angels, "Unzuru ila ibadi." جَاءُونِ شُعْثًا غُبْرًا ضَاحِينَ. Look at my slaves, they've come to me, dusty and wild-haired, thirsty. أُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ. I call you to witness that I have granted them my forgiveness. That is their highest moment, and it is the moment when they are most broken. Just as our highest moment in the prayer is the moment when we are most abased and our forehead is flat on the ground. The glory of Bani Adam lies in our self-emptying. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ uses the same kind of phrases in many hadith. another hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, which is also a hadith. He says, Ala adullukum ala ahli al-jannah, shall I not tell you who are the people of paradise? And he says, Kullu da'ifin mustad'afin la yu'ba'u ilay, la yu'ba'u bihi. The people of paradise is everybody who is weak and is caused to be weak and who nobody pays any attention to. Wa ahlu an-nari kullu mutakabbirin mustakbirin jawwals. And the people of the fire are every person who is arrogant and proud and hard-hearted. So it's a matter of what we are within. How we are outwardly is not important. How we are within is the difference between being people who are glorious in their humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the state that we are called to be. That great paradox. So the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ إِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah does not look at your outward forms. He looks at your hearts and at your actions. So many of the ulama in the past have been afraid of shuhra, of being famous. They don't want to be pointed out. They don't want everybody to run after them in amazement at their knowledge, because they're afraid that their intentions will be perverted, and because they wish for this state of humility that is required in this ayah and in these hadiths. So we find this as one of the qualities of the Salaf, Ridwanullahi alayhim. Khalid bin Ma'dan, one of the great hadith scholars of the Tabi'in, كَانَ إِذَا كَثُرَتْ حَلَقَتُهُ قَامَ مَخَافَةَ الشُّهْرَةَ. When there were too many people in his class, he would get up and leave because he was afraid that he might become famous. Hassan al-Basri, radiallahu anhu, was once found crying. And he was asked why he was crying, and he said, because I've discovered that they've heard of me in the mosque. This is how they used to be. The greatness of the scholar is that he does not care about reputation. He does not care what people are saying. His teaching is simply to obey the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey this from me, even if it's just a verse. But what the reception is beyond them, and they are afraid. They are genuinely afraid that their intentions might be polluted by the fact that the scholar, of course, is the one who is walking in the footsteps of the Anbiya. They're afraid that that person may actually be walking to hellfire rather than to heaven because his intention has been polluted. And such was the fear of the early Muslims. There's a story in which one of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, said, كُنَّا نَمْشِي مَعَ أُبَيْ بِنْ كَعْبِ. We were once walking with Ubay bin Ka'b. And he's an interesting, ambiguous figure amongst the Sahaba, because he was known as somebody who took himself seriously, even though he was somebody who was a person of knowledge and narrated hadith. Nemshi khalfahu, and we were walking behind him. And this sometimes happens. You see the scholar, he's got stuff to do, and he's walking fast, and the students are kind of rushing to keep up with him and listening to some pearl of wisdom that might fall from his lips. فَرَآهُ Umar, and Umar ibn Khattab saw him, فَعَلَاهُ بِالدُرَّةِ, and raised his stick to him. Sayyidina Umar, famous for having a stick and not being afraid to use it. فَقَالْ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أُنظُرْ مَا تَصْنَعْ. And he said, يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, commander of the Muslims, look, what are you doing? فَقَالَ Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِنَّ هَذِهِ ذِلَّةٌ لِلتَّابِعِ وَفِتْنَةٌ لِلْمَتْبُوعِ. This thing that you're doing is humiliating to those who are following you and is a fitna to the one who is being followed. The ulama, again, are aware of this and are afraid of it. Sometimes he's busy. He has something to do. He has a class to give. People are rushing after him. They want to ask him this and that. And sometimes that's how he has to be. But it's a dangerous situation because pride can enter his heart. Sayyidina Umar is so angry with the Sahabi that he raises his stick against him and says, this is humiliating to these people who want to ask you questions, and it's a fitna for you. So one of the Salaf, radiallahu anhum, used to say, إِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ تَعْرِفْ وَلَا تُعْرَفْ وَتَمْشِي وَلَا يُمْشَى إِلَيْكَ وَتَسْأَلْ وَلَا تُسْأَلْ فَفْعَلْ. This is Ibn Muhayriz, who was one of the Tabi'in. He used to say, if you were able to know and not to be known, and to walk and not to be walked to, and to ask and not to be asked, then you should do that. That's the preferable situation. That's the situation of the high talib al-ilm, the one who is really seeking knowledge, really looking out for hadith. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody pays any attention to him. He's wild, dusty-haired, as the hadith says. But he's learning. None of this is getting in the way of his learning. So this is the way of the Salaf, Ridwanullahi alayhim. They were great people. They conquered the world. Spiritually, militarily, economically, they built a civilization overnight. How did they do that? By having this humility within themselves, by preferring humul, obscurity, not being known. Nobody knows you. Nobody asks you a question. Nobody walks to you. This is the way in which you should be. And that's the paradox of the Salaf, radiallahu anhum. Ruwiya anna Umara, radiallahu an, dakhala al-masjid. Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu an, once entered the mosque, the masjid. Fara'a Mu'adh bin Jabal, radiallahu an, yabki inda qabri Rasulillahi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he saw Mu'adh bin Jabal at the tomb of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was weeping. Qala Umar, ma yubkik? And Umar said, why are you weeping? And he says, sami'tu Rasulullahi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yaqul, inna al-yaseera min al-riya'i shirk. I once heard Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, just a little bit of ostentation is shirk. Wa inna Allah yuhibbu al-atqiya al-akhfiya. Allah loves the pious people who are hidden. Alladina in ghabu lam yufqadu wa idha qadaru lam yu'rafu. The people who, if they're not present, nobody misses them. And if they are present, nobody knows who they are. Qulubuhum masabihu al-huda. Their hearts are the lanterns of guidance. So why was he there weeping? Because he was afraid, because of his humility. Even though he's Mu'adh bin Jabal, who gives us the hadith of the niyyah and so many precious things that are integral to our religion. We owe him so much. He transmitted so much. The Qadi, the one who is in Yemen giving ijtihad and fatwas, still, he's afraid. He goes to the tomb of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's weeping. He's afraid that his niyyah might not be adequate. He's afraid that he might indeed be embarking upon shirk, because he thinks perhaps there's some possibility that there's something in this for me, that I'm showing off, that all of this is actually nothing. That's another sign of the great scholar, that the greater he becomes, the more doubtful he is about his own intentions. And we see this in the lives of many of them, in the story of Imam al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, is perhaps the best known. All of this sounds fine, but we have to think about what it really means for us. Are we always to present ourselves as kind of dusty, scruffy people who nobody pays any attention to? Is that how the Muslim should be? The one who is upholding and representing the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should he be this kind of invisible worm and everybody else is walking through the earth successfully and proudly? Is there some way in which it is legitimate for us to be known and to have what the ulama will call jah, in other words, self-respect, self-esteem, dignity? How can we achieve that? And the ulama look at this and say, of course it's dangerous, because the better known you are, the more likely it is that your intention will go astray. But still, it is your right. Because hasab, dignity, is one of the basic rights that the Muslim has in Sharia, along with the right to property, to marriage, to lineage. Dignity, and also ird, honour, is part of that. And that's not achieved by being just a miserable, self-flagellating worm. There has to be a certain dignity about the believer. How can this be achieved? Well, the ulama say that there's basically three ways in which we can understand the way in which we present ourselves as well-known people in the world. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we do it. Sometimes it happens even if we don't intend it. One of these ways is forbidden, and two of these ways are actually mubah, permissible. So the first way, which is forbidden, is if we tell people things that aren't true, or lead them to believe things about ourselves that aren't true. If we're simply telling people, I fast every Thursday, but we're not, and our reputation soars as a result, that obviously involves kedib and telbis, lying and deceiving others. That can't possibly be valid. So if you are deceiving people about your piety, and your reputation increases as a result, there's no way in which that can be valid. And that is, in fact, the most dangerous way in which shuhra can drag you down. But there's two other ways that the ulama will refer to where it can be permissible to have and to cultivate a kind of honourable image in the world. So they say For instance, and the modern equivalent would be writing your CV. We know as Muslims that humility is a virtue. It's not good to tell everybody how wonderful we are and how many degrees we've got and that we like cycling and that we're assertive people, we work well in groups, we're leadership material. The stuff you have to put in your CV to compete. Can we do that? Is that Islamically legitimate? And the ulama will say, if it is necessary in order to achieve a valid goal in Sharia. In other words, you're not doing it because you're just enjoying the ego trip, but you're doing it because you need to do this to achieve something that is legitimate for you, like getting a job, for instance. You're not going to get a job. You can do if you don't really write a CV that sounds good. Not lying, but drawing people's attention to what you've achieved, then it's perfectly all right for you to do that. And Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam in the Quran offers himself as the person who is best able to look after the storehouses. اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ أمين. Put me in charge of the warehouses, he says. إني حفيظ أمين. I am a good guardian, a protector, and I am trustworthy. He's a Nabi, no ego. But still, it is legitimate for him to say this. He's not boasting, but it's his right to say this because he knows that he can serve the population by doing this, and to get the job, he has to be frank about his ability to do that. That's very important for us to understand. If it's a legitimate goal, then it's permissible for you to talk about the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So we need to recall these things. And the other thing that the ulama will say, the third of these three issues about your public profile, your status, if you like, your image in the eyes of others, is what do you do about your sins? What about the bad stuff that we all do? The stuff that we're not very comfortable about telling other people. Is it a breach of our sincerity to keep those things secret? So I could be standing up here giving a khutbah, but I could have been doing dreadful things yesterday. Is it something that is intention? Well, clearly, we should not underestimate the sins that we do and that we all do. But it is not right for the Muslim to tell other people about his sins, unless there's a very specific reason. In other words, if there's a sheikh and the sheikh can explain how to avoid that in future, you may well have to spill the beans and say, yes, I did this, I looked at that, I whatever. But generally the rule in Islamic ethics is that you bury it. It's not permissible to tell other people about the ugly things that you do. Allahumma, except in the case of converts who, as we know from the Sahaba, they used to talk about what they used to do in the Jahiliyyah. They used to go to the idols, etc., etc. That's permissible. But as a Muslim, you can't talk about the slips that you've made. And it's easy to see why that is. If we get into the mindset that says we can only be real, sincere Muslims if we tell everybody about the bad stuff that we've done recently, conversation amongst Muslims is going to be very strange. Because after all, we all mess up frequently. It's going to be an odd kind of conversation. What bad thing did you do last week? And, oh brother, in order to be sincere, not to be a munafiq, I have to tell you about X, Y, Z. That's not going to fly, and that's not the way of a Muslim. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like hatkusat. He does not like the unveiling of what should be concealed. And he does not like izhar al-qabih, ugly things to be made manifest. It is in the interest of society for certain things to be buried out of sight, where they can just rot away, rather than constantly to come to the surface. Because sometimes, if sins are frequently discussed, and we know that they frequently happen, sometimes we can underestimate how sinful those things are. We become habituated to them. So this is another of the wisdoms of the Sharia, one of the wise, balanced aspects of Islam. We are not required constantly to be whimpering, miserable beings, drawing attention to our own weakness and trying to be as obscure as possible. There are ways in which we can be dignified and honourable people if the niyyah is correct, and if we are doing it always in conformity with the sunnah of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's a hair's breadth that separates that from riyah, and we have to be constantly examining our intention. And if we're ever in doubt, it's usually best to bury the good things that we've done, as well as the bad things that we've done, because as the hadith says, just a little bit of showing off of ostentation is shirk, which is, as we know, the most unforgivable of sins. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of humility and people of dignity, people whose best aspect is always visible to the world, and who inwardly are masabih al-huda, lanterns of guidance, that inshallah the doors will be opened to us as they were opened to the humble giants هو السلف رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا، وعافنا واعف عنا وكلنا حيث كنا. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام، ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.